My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes swings it.
It's there! Hartman! Jackpot! Kansas City!
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Hey. Hey. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, George.
Woo! That's my best Joe.
I like it. Good morning. Like, yeah, I'm not good at it, man. So
that actually was pretty close. No, that good, but you nailed it.
I'm pretty good at imitating.
No, that was people, that was so. Like tone, tenor, everything. You nailed it, Rashawn.
Well, hey, man, good I job, appreciate bro. It. I work hard at this thing. So
one take wonder over there.
That's what I try to be, man. That's what they actually call me. Anytime we've done like we don't get a lot of them, but like, hey, we need to do this. You know, for the podcast or something like that, I'm a great reader.
Oh, okay.
Actually, that's not true. Like, there was a time where it was a struggle. Reading in front of people was tough.
It is nerve-wracking.
When I was, like, especially elementary school, I would trip over words like and the and just real easy-ass words. Just, like, being nervous to mess up in front of people.
Like when they would go through the class and be like, all right, you read all a right. sentence or a paragraph, yes. and you read a passage or a paragraph,
oh,
and so
trust
on.
Trust me,
so
by the time it got to me, I'd read that paragraph 4 times. I know what I'm supposed to say. Like, so, yeah, but I'm glad I was able to get that right. And I'm glad you guys are in here with us, man. It is Sports Sunday. It is Father's Day edition of the Schultz and Shot Show here on Sports Sunday. Joe is out, so... I don't want to talk about my guy, but I feel like we have to.
No, we're gonna. I love you, Joe, but we're gonna give you a little ribbon here. Ha, Joe, ribbing. Ha, dad joke on Father's Day. Yes,
I love it. Joe and you'll
find
is
out why in a second.
So we all know our guy Joe is an avid golfer. Loves his golf. Tries to get out there on the greens as much as he can. Even when it's probably not the best idea.
If anybody is as avid as like a golfer as you could think of, that would be Joe. Like just think of the most dedicated dude on the course, and that would be Joe Fish.
And still probably shooting 50 shots over what he's supposed to be, what he wants to shoot. Probably a good, you know, 90-something.
I can't remember what he said his handicap was or what his normal scores are.
So we got a text from Joe this morning at, you know, pretty early, and he says, "Hey, dude, can't make it in today. I broke or cracked my rib last night or last Sunday, and I stupidly played golf yesterday. Now I'm in excruciating pain, can't even get out of bed."
Hold on a second. So last Sunday, we're talking 7 days from now.
Yes.
In the past is when this cracked rib happened.
Yes.
And then a week after that, and I don't know if it's one rib, I don't know if it's two ribs, I don't know if we're talking like half of the left side here.
I've had an unfortunate incident to where I actually had a cracked rib.
Ugh.
And I don't know if you've ever had one.
I have.
I can tell you, if for those out there who have not, it's hard to breathe. Breathing, don't sneeze, like don't cough. Don't do anything that's gonna, you know, kind of make your it expand a little bit. Like, it is excruciatingly painful. And Joe Fisher decided, I'm gonna go out, and the best way to work this out is go out and play a round of golf, and now his ass is stuck in the bed and can't get out. So it's a Schultz and Schott edition of Sports Sunday, but we hope, obviously we hope Joe is feeling better. He's got a beautiful lady there probably taking care of him. So I think he'll be okay. But if you follow Joe on Twitter, you know, send him some well wishes, because I think he's in a little bit of pain. It's okay.
I think knowing his lady friend, she's probably laughing at him.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
It's kind of telling him how much of an idiot he is. So,
yeah.
And I guess we're no exception, because we're also going to tell him how much of an idiot he is. Joe, that was dumb. Don't do that again. And hurry up and rest up, man, so you can get back to doing these shows that you love so much. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm curious of what the conversation is going to be like tomorrow in the station, you know, about Joe's new injury.
I mean, I hope he kind of like just walks in.
Hold on.
Full effect, like ice pack strapped to the ribs kind of a deal. That's kind of what I want.
Did he say how he cracked his rib?
I don't believe so.
I didn't
so.
See that in the text.
I kind of wondered if it was like on the golf course as well.
Yeah, he kind of glossed over that part. So I don't know if he said. I'm curious to know now how the heck you did that.
I mean, honestly, as a middle-aged dude, you want to say that it's like not easy to crack a rib, but it is. Like, just doing normal stuff around the house. And
to
I'm not.
Crack
this is
a
not.
Rib?
Yes, this is not by any means throwing Joe into the bus, but like, if you fall, like, you know, you're just grabbing something, like trying to like adjust a shingle or something, or grab something from the top shelf from the garage, and you either twist the wrong way, you fall into the wall, you fall on the floor.
But that can crack a rib?
Yes.
Just, I understand falling, but like, I reach for something, oh, my rib. Like, I don't
know. No, that's more out of place. I'm talking about like the effect of like doing that twisting motion as kind of you're falling, or as like it's while you're doing activities.
I don't know what he did, because it was probably something just as dumb. I'd love to know how Joe hurt himself, but he'll be back next week, more than likely. He'll be on the hot corner this week, so, or at least
if he can breathe.
We think he'll be on the hot corner
if he can breathe
this week. But yeah, hopefully my man can breathe, and hopefully you guys are out there, you know, if you woke up today, you're breathing. It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to
Absolutely.
All of the amazing dads out there. Jordan, you probably don't know this about me, but I like Father's Day.
Yeah, okay. I don't think I know either way.
I appreciate the sentiment, I suppose. That said, Father's Day is the worst holiday that exists.
Really?
Absolutely. Okay, just think of this. How many Father's Day commercials have you seen while watching sports? Over the past year life? Ever?
That's fair. It's definitely the proportion. I kind of hear where you're going with this. And the proportion to either, I think you could compare it to Mother's Day commercials or any other holiday. Let's not even, like, I'm not trying to throw mothers under the bus or even compare battle of the sexes.
Listen,
thing. I think any other holiday, it's way less.
If there's any
less.
Day that mothers are getting this smoke, it's today, because Father's Day is awesome, but at the same time, not at all. Like, thank you for recognizing me as a dad, but now it's like, well, go fix something now. Go grill something now. Like, for Mother's Day, it's like, buy Mom the Pandora bracelet she's always wanted. Get Mom the Lexus,
I know,
you know, that she's always wanted. Put a big red bow on it and everything. Like, yep. There are all these amazing brunch. I love brunch. What do you like brunch?
I love brunch, Rashad.
Brunch is one of the greatest inventions ever. You mean to tell me I can have crab legs, chicken, and eggs, like, all at the same time?
Your new wife and I and my wife must do a double brunch day.
I would love
mimosas,
to do brunch.
We've got, like, spots with endless mimosas in Portland. We've got all kinds of options that we could go enjoy. I love brunch.
Guess how many brunch options there are for dads on Father's Day?
I'm going to guess, like, not even a zero, but, like, a -2. Like, places, and by that I mean places that would normally be doing a brunch aren't doing it for Father's Day because they've just thrown in either a prime rib special and nothing else, or just something they think dads would like.
Yeah, seriously. It's like, man, and so it's like, while Mom gets the Pandora bracelet, it's like, go buy Dad these tools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go
to Home Depot. Lowe's. Come fix something. Like, be useful, Dad. And it's kind of one of those things, man. I would love just one day where you're pampered, right? Just, you know, all the things that Moms gets, the manicure, the pedicure, you know, all that jazz, the massage. We don't get any of that. Like, no one cares about how hard Dad has worked. Just here's a wrench. Go work harder.
Yeah, that massage, I watched Dennis Quaid get I think it was just a pedicure on live television for like some daytime TV program a while back. But hey, dude's a pretty man and he knows how to keep things tight and also knows how to be comfortable and relaxed and pampered. And that does include getting mani-pedis. I got one before my wedding a few years ago. It was one of the best experiences.
It's soothing, isn't it?
It was just so nice. It's sitting like back, not having to worry, and I'm all clean at the end. I got nothing in between my fingernails.
And then you figure out, this is why ladies love this. Yeah. This is why they go, and this is why they're always trying to get their feet and nails done all the time. It's like, man, this is all right. And I'll be the first to tell you, do I have the prettiest feet? Not at all.
Oh, no, mine are. Those are nasty.
Not at all. You won't see me in any open-toed sandals at any point. However, going to get your a pedicure,
yeah.
It's like, man, this is, I could get used to this.
I literally, Rashad, last week, because my wife, she, time of the month, like every, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, she's like, all right, my nails are kind of getting raggedy. I need to go get it done. So we scheduled that and dropped her off. She had forgotten her coffee. So I went back and gave that to her. There was a dude that looked like he was straight out of Duck Dynasty in there getting a mani-pedi with his wife. And man, I was just like, bro,
self-care.
Good for you.
Self-care. That's,
I love that. That just the secure feeling in your own manhood. Appreciate that.
Self-care. That's an important part. So, fellas, today, if you're a dad, we're not going for any macaroni necklaces. We're not going for any drawings to put on the refrigerator. Today, dads, we call our shot. I want a pedicure, too. I want a manicure. Get me a massage. Get me, you know, something I can that will be useful. Get me some new kicks. I want some new Jordans. Like, that would be ideal for most dads. So, fellas, dads out there, go get what you deserve today.
Do we just need to move Father's Day to like September, like during the football season or something?
That would be ideal.
Because I mean, I guess sometimes
would be ideal.
You would get it falling on an NBA Finals day, but not everybody's, you know, into the Celtics v the Mavericks.
And think about this. Think of the drastic change from 1 month to another. So May was Mother's Day, beautiful day, all these things, and then fast forward to Father's Day, and it's like, oh. Well, it's a day. It's Father's Day, right? You know, like, I forgot it was Father's Day until the homies just last night were like, oh, man, yo, what you doing for Father's Day? I was like, is that tomorrow?
I will say, no idea. Shout out to my stepmom, Julie. She usually handles the grilling, so I know today we're going to go down and have some nice steaks with my dad for Father's Day. Mm. And she will be the one out on the grill, so my dad does get, you know, a little bit of time off.
Yeah.
And trust me, this is not like my dad's like letting her do all the work. They live on like a 2-acre property where he's got to take the John Deere out and not only do the mowing, but a bunch of weeding and a bunch of landscaping.
Yeah, the last thing I need to be doing today is grilling.
Exactly.
So I'm not mad at that. So dads, go get yours, man. We're going to make sure we get ours. And we got to, I guess I'm going to say we have a pretty full, we have a show.
I mean,
we have a show. Like, we're at that time of year to where, you know, we're not quite at, you know, at the point to where we're talking about NFL teams. We're still pretty far away from that. We're not deep enough into the baseball season to where, you know, we can honestly start talking about division leaders, who's going to do what our expectations are. We're too far into the NBA season to where we only got two teams to really talk about from here. So not a lot happening in sports. But then, you know, we came up with a cool little, you know, some stuff to talk about today. So
it's pretty stacked.
It's pretty stacked. So, yeah, we obviously got some NBA Finals game five coming up. Dallas did what a lot of us thought was the impossible and pulled out a huge, huge blowout win in game four to force a game five. Let's see if they can force a game six from there. We'll talk about that. The Celtics, about to be on number 18, potentially, more than likely, are about to be on championship 18. What does this mean for Boston, and are they the premier franchise in the NBA? Also, we lost a legend in the basketball world, in the sports world, as we lost Jerry West earlier this week. So we'll talk about his impact on basketball and also, you know, really just culture as far as it stands. And then one of the greatest on-air personalities of all time, possibly the greatest of all time, Charles Barkley has announced his retirement after next season. So you won't have to worry about not seeing him on TNT because he won't be anywhere. So I'm sure he'll have something going on, but we'll talk about Charles's significance. But first, man, we'll talk some finals, man.
It's just about over, but we need to talk about this because I don't know if Boston just didn't show up, but we can break that down from what happened on game four and what's going to happen tomorrow. Because yes, oh my goodness.
Yes, game four has happened. Game five is tomorrow. So let's go ahead and break that down, shall we? Sports Sunday on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
9/19 on this June 16th, Father's Day edition of the Schulze and Schad Show here on Sports Sunday. Did you watch the game on Friday?
NBA Finals Game 4?
Yes.
I watched about the first half. I think it became obvious at that point that Boston was sunk and just did not want to. I guess just didn't want to win it on Dallas's home court. Maybe bring the series back to Boston, as the Dropkick Murphys say, ship it up to Boston before they win the NBA Finals.
I was kind of thinking a little bit of that as well. I was honestly kind of hoping that they would just go ahead and win the series in Dallas. Have that be that. I do not want to see Boston fans celebrate.
No.
I do not want to see Boston fans celebrate in their home arena. I mean, listen, I'm a Patriots fan. On accident, though, because as a 9-year-old kid, I had no idea where New England was. Right? You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's fair.
I had no idea where New England was. And then it wasn't until, I want to say maybe I was 7th grade, to where I found out that it's in Boston. And by that time, I was like, okay, I didn't really understand Boston at that point, right? Like, I'm still in 7th grade. I don't get the cultural impact, the racial impact, all those little things. Like, I don't
crappy racial history of Boston.
Yeah, none of that made sense to me at that point. And it wasn't until I got older, I was like, oh, okay, that's why. Like,
and just the general just jerkness from that entire... I almost said a bad word and had to dump myself, so I tried to censor myself very quickly. But yeah, just the general crappy attitude from people there as well.
Yeah, it's a weird... So I don't know if I told you this. I think I may have, so...
I've lived there, by the way. So this is not just me judging from afar. I lived there for a year with my wife. She's from that area.
That's funny. I was supposed to live there for a year, my junior year, and I didn't. Like, I had a mentor. I was in this program, and my mentor went to Harvard to get his doctorate. I was like, okay. And he was only going to be there for a year. And me and two other people that were in the program were supposed to move out there with him and help start the Rite of Passage program in Boston that we had here in Portland. And of course, my mom and my family said, absolutely not. You're not moving anywhere for a year. Don't care why. So it's one of those things. So now fast forward, I'm 22.
Yeah.
And I work for the Boys and Girls Club. Shout out to Boys and Girls Clubs of America. And we go to they have this like conference every year. This year it's in Boston, right? So me and my guy Tamarco, another black guy that works there, we just happen to be out, and there's a game at Fenway.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, well, there's some bars around the area. Let's just go to one of the bars and watch the game, and bars packed and everything. We sat at the bar for like 2 hours talking to these dudes next to us about sports, about real estate, you know, just about all types of stuff.
Yeah, just everything.
And we got up to get ready to leave. Nice to meet you guys. Have a good one. Dude with a straight face looked at us and goes, man, you guys are funny color guys. And we were like,
what?
What? Like, but the way he said it, it wasn't, you can tell he wasn't trying to be like racist or anything like
He's
that.
He's like just a South Boston a-hole.
It was just so natural. It was like, man, you're a funny colored guy. Like,
wow.
I dig it. And it was kind of one of those things. So that's not everybody in Boston's like that. So we don't want to, you know, give that perception. However, at that time, it was pretty jarring. So for
you've literally experienced it. That just
So it was one of those things that it could. I understand that conversation could have been way different and way worse, but it was cool enough. So we gave him the benefit of the doubt, but yeah, that was kind of
you just
one of
having
things.
To do that though, Rashad. But, I love you, man. What an amazing soul you are.
Well, man, like can't fight everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I hear you.
Can't fight everybody.
I mean, I don't hear you, but I hear what you're saying.
Can't be mad at every, you know, dumb that sometimes folks just don't know no better, unfortunately. It's just one of them things. But that, in a nutshell, is for the most part a lot of Boston fans. And on top of that, if you're a Boston fan, I'm a Pats fan, so we've got 6 Super Bowls in my lifetime, right? Like, so if you're a Celtics fan, like, in my lifetime, I've been able to see 5 championships won for the Celtics. Like, you know, if you're a Bruins fan, you know, obviously if you're a Red Sox fan, like, you've had your fair share of winning, and this is a city that's so used to it, and it happens all the time, to where they're hella arrogant. Hella arrogant. And people can't stand Boston fans. I'm right there with them. I don't hate the Celtics, and that should be, it's the fans. I don't dislike Celtic fans.
And you've got...
Or dislike the Celtics. I dislike their fans.
You've got a lot of legitimate reasons, as you've literally just laid out, 1, 2, 3, yeah, 4, and 5, why are not a fan of their fans.
That part aside, you know, more than that, they're just annoying, entitled.
That's fair.
Like, a team that are really franchises that have won everything all the time, they're always in the mix, they're always talking about Boston, like... It's one of those things, man. So I didn't want them to win on their home floor just because I didn't want to see those fans and all that green celebrating. But it looks like that's going to happen, because Game 4, nobody got more than 12 shots for Boston.
So what you're saying is a 122-84 defeat is not what you wanted to see
That is not what I wanted to see,
I gotcha,
unfortunately. But you also... You look at the box score.
Yeah,
Jason Tatum took 10 shots, didn't play anymore. 27 minutes. Jaylen Brown took 12 shots, didn't play anymore. Like, so there was nobody on the team. The person with the most shots was Portland's own Peyton Pritchard. Peyton Pritchard had 14 shots on the night, and so I think Boston, they were down big in the first half, almost just as big in the second half, and at a point Joe Mazzulla just mailed it in. Guys, come sit down. We're not going to win this game. Which, I'll be honest, Missoula's a weirdo, but I always respect that kind of coaching right there. Like, man, we are so far behind. Do I want my guys to expel all this energy just trying to get back into it? Or, you know what? Come sit down. This game is over. Let's let them have it. Let's figure out a way to get better for game five.
You know, I wonder what the low is for minutes played by, I guess, not just like a starter, but like a number one or two option for a team in the NBA Finals in any game is. Because, yeah, you look at some of the minutes numbers. I mean, 27 for Tatum and Brown, and then Derek White essentially handled most of the guard duties at 31 minutes, and then Peyton Pritchard coming off and taking 14 shots in 22 minutes. By that point, he was just taking up all of the shots that normally would go to the top options for the Celtics, so it didn't really matter. And to your point about Joe Mazzulla, that is a good coaching move. There really isn't a point when you're down by 10, 15 going into the second quarter already. It's like, all right, you know what? We just, guys, it's not our night. It sucks. I don't know really what to say. They've had so many good nights in a row. You kind of expect any team to have an off night. And when you're up 3-0 in the NBA Finals, you're on the other team's court. It makes sense. That is the time to have an off night. So I guess the Boston Celtics don't really concern me as far as their shooting and their lack of effort, because it just was obvious that once they could not get any footing in the game, they just stopped giving any effort. And at this point of the season, I mean, shoot, Rashad, it's an 82-game NBA regular season. And then if you, at this point, are in the NBA playoffs, I'm not saying the Celtics have played 7-game series, because they haven't, but you're looking at near 30 games, you know, at least the possibility of playing near 30 games if you've made it to this point as well. So their legs are tired. This is the obvious move. And Dallas just had you. Luka had to respond. Kyrie had to respond to all the calls.
Boy, did they.
Yeah, actually do something. And you're right. Boy, did they.
Man, I'm looking at the box score right now. And Luka Doncic, 29 points, plus 30 on the night, plus minus of 30. 12 for 26, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. That defense that everybody kind of talk bad about, like Kyrie, Luka was right there in the fight for most of the night. Kyrie Irving, plus 28, you know, 21 points tonight. He was only 1 for 6 from 3-point, but Luka didn't make a 3-pointer the entire game. 0 for 8 from 3, and still was able to end with 29 points.
That's going to hurt him. That's going to end up hurting him later on.
No, it's got, he can't do that again. He's not going to be able to go. They're not, between Kyrie and Luka, they shot 14 3-pointers. They
made one of 14.
Like, that's definitely not gonna work as they move forward.
And overall, the team went 41% from three. So just imagine if, like, either of them, one of the two, were competent from 3-point land, it would have been like a 50% clip for the Mavs. And not only that, Rashad, but on the other side of the Celtics, just sitting all their guys down, that is what the Dallas Mavericks were able to do as well.
Yeah.
You see, Luka and Kyrie only played like 30 minutes each. No. They're usually maxing out 48 minutes for their starters, or 46 minutes for NBA Finals games like this. And the fact that the Dallas Mavericks could rest their legs as well, that is huge. No team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit in the NBA Finals, but that's huge.
So let's talk about that for a second, because I know we have to break. A buddy of mine kind of said this, and I was kind of like, well, I guess you're kind of right. It's never happened, right? No team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit.
Tied it, gotten close, but no.
We've seen the Celtics trick leads. We've seen them trick series, you know, in the past. If there was any team that would allow somebody to come back from a 3-0 deficit, it would probably be these Celtics.
Ooh, really?
I mean, I just looking at their playoff history, just looking at how the last few years have worked out for them, we can't forget about the Miami meltdown that they had a couple years ago. Like, if there was any team that could trick off this type of series lead, it would be the Celtics. And if there were any team that had the ability to come back and make it a series, probably the two best scorers, you know, in the playoffs at this point, which is Kyrie and Luka, bringing their team back.
If they can get back to what they were doing in the Western Conference Finals, in the semifinals, which is basically when early in the game, if you're seeing Kyrie and Luka miss a couple of shots, you dump it into Daniel Gafford, and you've got your big man that you acquired at the trade deadline. He's running your offense, or you're running the offense through him in the first quarter, which really, you don't see big men, you know, getting a lot of plays called for them anymore at this point in the NBA in 2024, but that's literally what the Mavericks were doing. It was working for them, and when you spread the love for 5, 6, 7 minutes, and you allow, you know, another guy to get a couple of plays called for him and force a team to game plan for that, it discombobulates their defense a little bit, but I haven't seen that done by Dallas in this series. So it's going to be interesting to not only see if Kyrie and Luka can keep this up, because, yeah, they got to hit threes, but also still score like 30 a game, but also see PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, Derek Lively actually step up like they had it in the Western Conference and the NBA semis.
Well, game five is tomorrow, 5 p.m. on ABC. What are your predictions? Who gets this game? In Boston.
It's got to be Boston. I mean, if Dallas comes out and shoots perfectly, they've got only a chance at winning. I just don't think that Boston's going to be beaten at this point. They've been too good in the playoffs. They've been too good with Kristaps Porzingis, and they've been good without Kristaps Porzingis. So if they get 20 minutes from Porzingis, then they're probably going to win by like 12. And I'm sure it's a close spread. I don't have it in front of me, Rashad. It's probably, what, like a 4.5-point Celtics are favored or something like that?
Something around
that. So I would assume that Boston, it's my money, at least from where I'm sitting, that Boston would at least cover that and probably beat Dallas by close to 8, 10, or 12 points tomorrow.
Spread is 6.5.
6.5?
6.5, yes.
So Vegas kind of agrees with me, at least it seems.
Yeah, so it should be a pretty easy win for Boston. I feel like they're going to respond really well. It's unfortunate, but get ready for a Celtics championship number 18. There you go. So coming up, man, somebody who absolutely hated the Celtics, and but he absolutely loved the competition, somebody that changed the game so many different ways. We'll talk about Jerry West and his impact, but first, Jordan's Got Sports. 9:38. We all got some pretty sad news earlier this week as the NBA and as the sports world, man, lost just an amazing player. Amazing general manager, amazing team president, I believe. Just an amazing figure in the world of sports. As Jerry West passed away on June 12th at the age of 86 years old, a really full life. He's the logo. Where do you start? Like, with Jerry, there are certain guys in sport to where it's like they supersede the actual sport that they played.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we can agree that, you know, Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali were bigger than boxing, right? They outside of that realm of boxing, you knew what they contributed. And Jerry West, they called him Mr. Clutch. That was his nickname. Mr. Clutch. Like, I see that he had, as far as a playoff series, I think he still has the record for highest points per game average for a series. And it was like 46 points a game.
That's
with no three-point line.
Outlandish.
It's
video
crazy,
game
right?
Stats, man.
It's insane. You know, the things that he was really able to do, you know, obviously a move that he made became the silhouette for what we know as the NBA. He's somebody that's went to the finals in his, I want to say he had a 12-year career. How long did Jerry West play?
Well, I mean, he was an All-Star 14 times.
14-time All-Star. He was in the NBA Finals.
About 15 years. 15-year career, 60 to 74 as a player. And then he took over as a coach a year and a half later.
He was in the NBA Finals 8 times. And he played against Boston for 6 of them.
Exactly, yeah.
And so if there's anybody that really hates the Celtics more than I do, it would be Jerry West.
Saw the joke on social media that he did not want to see the Celtics win another one. So he's like, you know what? I'm going to croak out. I'm done.
I'd die before I see them win as many championships as the Lakers.
Like, I can't deal.
And guess what? You know, he left this world. But listen to his, you know, these career highlights. You know, obviously NBA champion 1972, finals MVP. Never won an NBA MVP. But this is a time that Wilt Chamberlain was in the league. This is a time to where Bill Russell was obviously in the league. Like, those guys are walking away with all the hardware. 14-time All-Star, 10 times All-NBA first team, 2-time second team, 4-time All-Defensive team, scoring champion, assist leader. He's on the 35th anniversary team, the 50th anniversary team, and the 75th anniversary team. That good. Every time they come up with a top 50, top whatever, Jerry West is always going to be right there. Like, he became, as an executive, 8 championships with the Lakers, with the Warriors, you know, executive of the year a couple times. Remember, he even built that Memphis team.
Yeah.
From some, like, we kind of forget about that. They didn't win a championship, but obviously we got guys like Pau Gasol, you know, out of that, you know, whole experiment, man. You got a really, really good Mike Conley, you know, at that point for a long time. They even got a first round win against the Blazers, or excuse me, a second round win against the Blazers. What was that? It was the year after the shot against Houston.
So, like,
I forget. It was a while ago.
09, 2010. I can't remember exactly.
So, here's somebody that's done it from every single position in the sport. Front office, head coach. Now, as a head coach, wasn't great, and he'll tell you, he would have told you that didn't really have the patience for it, you know, was a little fiery. And there are a lot of people that are really pissed off about his portrayal on the show Winning Time. Did you watch that at all?
Oh, I've seen season one. I've kind of just been waiting until I have like a day to kind of just watch season two.
Season two was stupid. Like, I was so mad at the way it ended.
Really?
It's so dumb. It ended really dumb.
Well, but season one of that show was like just a glowing example of what a TV show, a retro focus on like a docuseries.
I thought it was brilliant. And honestly, I thought the portrayal of Jerry West wasn't to... Everybody was like a kind of an over-exaggerated version of the actual person, right? So Kareem was surly, but he wasn't so surly. He was telling kids to F off and stuff like that. Like,
no, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar never would have done that. That's against his personality. That's against who he is.
But he was, but being surly, kind of a grumpy older guy, Kareem was a little bit of that and everything, but he wasn't that. So I think everybody kind of had their character played up just a little bit. And so people took a lot of exception to the way Jerry West was portrayed there. And a lot of people come out and, you know, denied it and, you know, and said, that's not him. That's not what he's about. But I understood. But at the same time, I could imagine looking at that and going, I never threw my championship through the window.
Yeah, I think that was it was obviously an over the top representation, but it was a great portrayal of, they were trying to show the turmoil that Jerry West as a human being was
in. Going through.
And as a competitor, somebody that literally bled to win, that dedicated his life to not only the game of basketball, but the Los Angeles Lakers. So this was the only professional organization that he knew. He had amazing success as a player, but, you know, like you said so many times against the Celtics, losing that in the NBA Finals over and over and over again, that's going to wear at you. And this is a guy that already he's talked about this, and I love that he's been so public about this. He's talked about his mental health battle. He's been very, I think he was probably one of the first athletes to be very public and open about that and just kind of saying, hey, it's okay. You know, we're not all okay, and it's okay not to be okay. You've got to go seek help, and I've had to step back sometimes. And so I think that portrayal is a little over the top, but it shows exactly the turmoil that he was in. But despite that turmoil, oh my goodness, the logo Jerry West, we're never going to find somebody like him again. He is one of the most legendary names in the history of sports, Rashad. He will always be, when you talk about the NBA, probably one of the first 5 to 10 guys that you discuss as far as like, all right, name 10 guys when you think of the NBA. Jerry West has to be, must be in that conversation because in his career, Rashad, you know, not only was he so smart in that transition from player to coach to executive, but the historical moves that he made.
Right.
Bringing Kobe in for Vlade Divac, signing Shaquille O'Neal, just a week or two or a month
hiring
after that?
Phil Jackson after that.
Yeah, hiring the Chicago Bulls, winning as head coach to go be the Lakers winning as head coach. And then after a falling out with the Buses, and part of that was Phil Jackson and Jeannie Buss getting together and the Lakers' very small organization like Phil. Well, he did it the same in Memphis. And then one of my favorite stories that I just found out over the last like week or so because of social media, when he ended up with the Warriors, told them as they were considering trading away Klay Thompson, this was as their dynasty was starting. I can't remember who it was for, but Kevin Love. They were talking about trading Klay Thompson and another piece, like a draft pick for Kevin Love. And Jerry West, to his credit, said, I will effing quit if you trade Klay Thompson. And look at how many championships and look at the dynasty Golden
State
has. Doesn't
work out that way
now
with Kevin Love if he comes. Kevin Love was a great player at a point. But Thompson was – and also the one thing he did, he was really responsible for getting KD there. Yeah. You know, he was really one of the people that – you know, he talked to Kevin Durant and said, man, I played in the finals 8 times. I got one championship. Like,
but he made up for that as an executive. Because 8-time champion as an executive, 9 total, and yeah. won 2 Executive of the Year awards in 2 different decades, in fact. So,
yeah, so
also just shows his longevity.
Yeah, and so, you know.
Rest in peace, Jerry.
We lost the great one and the great Jerry West. And so, do you think he'll forever be the logo? Like, I think the NBA, like, they can't. I don't know if you can change a logo. Like, that's,
no.
you know, a lot of people think it should have been Jordan, the Jordan symbol or something like that, which, you know, would also be a cool logo. But
I've heard some of the, I mean, I don't know what the original motivations were for. I thought it was maybe A, to update it to somebody that people know more. I've heard the argument that it should be, you know, a black player as opposed to a white player as the logo. Like, I've heard like 6 different arguments as to why it should have been like somebody else, but no. Jerry West, in my opinion, will forever be the logo. We all know what the NBA logo looks like, and when you have something like that branding that works, you just stick with it.
Yeah.
I mean, why would the NFL ever change their shield? Why would the NBA ever change it? Why would MLB ever change theirs? No.
Yeah. So rest in peace to the great Jerry West, man. It will be hard-pressed to find another guy that was a great player, then a great general manager, you know, a great executive, all in one. We saw Jordan was a great player, was not a great executive.
No.
Not a great owner.
I think the closest is like Steve Kerr, and he was an okay player. He was a mediocre player.
It's Steve Kerr and Larry Bird.
Yeah.
It's Steve Kerr and Larry Bird. Like, yeah. Larry Bird is the next in line after Jerry West because he was a great player. Larry Bird was a great player.
Yes, he was.
Was an amazing coach.
Amazing.
And then
Pacers.
Has been a really good, what is he? He's president?
He's had like 6 different titles. Yeah. Right now, he's probably like president emeritus, just kind of sitting in the background. But
okay.
He has been GM at some points. I believe he was even.
He hired Isaiah Thomas. And
yes,
Isaiah Thomas almost got them to the NBA Finals. You know,
even in his off years, was like a consultant at the minimum.
Yeah. So rest in peace to the great Jerry West. So, coming up next, what are we going to talk about? What's that last thing?
Let's see. We had Jerry West. We had NBA Finals. We've got some
sports,
other sports topics. Like, gosh, I mean, the Blazers could have drafted up or moved up in the draft in the next couple of weeks. There's a team in Utah, the new NHL team that wants to ask prospects about their Uber scores. But we can get into that in the next.
We're going to get all in that into the second hour, but. Culturally, another phenomenon, you know, will no longer be around for us. Although he's not passed away, he will be retiring from his on-air personality.
Yeah.
And that is the one great Charles Barkley. We'll talk about Sir Charles when we come back right here, Sports Sunday on The Fan. Well, the greatest sports show on TV will cease to exist after next year. And maybe it will be back at some point, but Inside the NBA, if it does come back after next year on another network, unfortunately will not be graced by the presence of one Sir Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley announced on NBA TV after Game 4 that regardless of what happens with Inside the NBA next year and their potential move from TNT, he will not be returning after next year in any capacity for any network. The great Charles Barkley has decided to hang up his cans, you know, retire his microphone and ride off into the sunset. Charles Barkley has been doing this job for 24 years. Like, it's crazy to think that he's been retired for that long.
He almost seems like ageless at this point. He's like 61 and it just doesn't look like it or seem like it.
Charles Barkley retired in 99-2000. Right. It doesn't seem like it's been that long since he's been, you know, but if we're being real, more people know Charles Barkley as the analyst than they do as the player.
At this point.
Like, which is insane to me. And I think, you know, Charles is one of those guys that's been so honest about, you know, everything. But in his honesty, there's still something very, what's the word I'm looking for? He's still very cool at the same time. He's super funny. And it's one of those things, like, it's hard to be mad at Charles Barkley for saying some off-the-wall stuff. He's talked bad about the Blazers for a long time. He's talked bad about San Antonio and San Antonio's women. One of those guys that will say anything that comes to mind, but you can tell he's not trying to be mean. This is just me talking type stuff. And
just funny. His job is to be funny.
His job is to be funny. And sometimes I'm curious if there's a group of writers that are behind them, giving them certain jokes or things to say or anything like that. But when he said, and I forget which team he was talking about, and they were talking about going to 1-2-3 Cancun.
New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah, he said, we're going to send their ass to Galveston. And I
dirty water in Texas.
Lost it when he said Galveston. I was like, man, I don't know, for whatever reason, I thought that was super, super funny. But, man, I don't know if we're going to get, if we'll have another sports show like this. Like, you can tell that they're, you know, Ernie kind of keeps things straight for everybody. He's the straight man. But between Charles and Shaq and them kind of going back and forth at each other and maybe with their disagreements or whatever the case is, like, it's the most entertaining sports show on TV. 100%.
I can't disagree as far as like pre and post game stuff and even competing like with some like it, I don't know. There is all kinds of sports programming on. I mean, you're seeing podcasts put on, you know, TV now. You're seeing like Pat McAfee now. His show has been brought to the mainstream.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
9:38. We all got some pretty sad news earlier this week as the NBA and as the sports world, man, lost just an amazing player, amazing general manager, amazing team president, I believe. Just an amazing figure in the world of sports. As Jerry West passed away on June 12th at the age of 86 years old, a really full life. He's the logo. Where do you start? Like with Jerry, there are certain guys in sport to where it's like they supersede the actual sport that they played.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we can agree that, you know, Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali were bigger than boxing, right? They outside of that realm of boxing, you knew what they contributed. And Jerry West, they called him Mr. Clutch. That was his nickname, Mr. Clutch. Like, I see that he had, as far as a playoff series, I think he still has the record for highest points per game average for a series. And it was like 46 points a game.
That's
with no three-point line.
Outlandish.
It's
video
crazy,
game
right?
Stats, man.
It's insane. You know, the things that he was really able to do, you know, obviously a move that he made became the silhouette for what we know as the NBA. He's somebody that's went to the finals in his, I want to say he had a 12-year career. How long did Jerry West play?
Well, I mean, he was an All-Star 14 times.
14-time All-Star. He was in the NBA Finals.
About 15 years. 15-year career, 60 to 74 as a player. And then he took over as a coach a year and a half later.
He was in the NBA Finals 8 times. And he played against Boston for 6 of them.
Exactly, yeah.
And so he, if there's anybody that really hates the Celtics more than I do, it would be Jerry West.
Saw the joke on social media that he did not want to see the Celtics win another one. So he's like, you know what? I'm a croak out. I'm done.
I'd die before I see them win as many championships as the Lakers.
Like, I can't deal.
And guess what? You know, he left this world. But listen to his, you know, these career highlights. You know, obviously NBA champion 1972, finals MVP. Never won an NBA MVP. But this is a time that Wilt Chamberlain was in the league. This is a time to where Bill Russell was obviously in the league. Like, those guys are walking away with all the hardware. 14-time All-Star, 10 times All-NBA first team, 2-time second team, 4-time All-Defensive team, scoring champion, assist leader. He's on the 35th anniversary team, the 50th anniversary team, and the 75th anniversary team. That good. Every time they come up with a top 50, top whatever, Jerry West is always going to be right there. Like, he became, as an executive, 8 championships with the Lakers, with the Warriors, you know, executive of the year a couple times. Remember, he even built that Memphis team.
Yeah.
From some, like, we kind of forget about that. They didn't win a championship, but obviously we got guys like Pau Gasol, you know, out of that, you know, whole experiment, man. You got a really, really good Mike Conley, you know, at that point for a long time. They even got a first round win against the Blazers. What was that? It was the year after the shot against Houston.
So, like,
I forget. It was a while ago.
09, 2010. I can't remember exactly.
So, here's somebody that's done it from every single position in the sport. Front office, head coach. Now, as a head coach, wasn't great, and he'll tell you, he would have told you that didn't really have the patience for it, you know, was a little fiery. And there are a lot of people that are really pissed off about his portrayal on the show Winning Time. Did you watch that at all?
Oh, I've seen season one. I've kind of just been waiting until I have like a day to kind of just watch season two.
Season two was stupid. Like, I was so mad at the way it ended.
Really?
It's so dumb. It ended really dumb.
Well, but season one of that show was like just a glowing example of what a TV show, a retro focus on like a docuseries.
I thought it was brilliant. And honestly, I thought the portrayal of Jerry West wasn't to everybody was like a kind of an over exaggerated version of the actual person. Right. So Kareem was surly, but he wasn't so surly. I was telling kids to F off and stuff like that. Like,
no, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar never would have done that. That's against his personality. That's against who he is.
But he was being surly, kind of a grumpy older guy. Yeah. Kareem was a little bit of that and everything, but he wasn't that. So I think everybody kind of had their character played up just a little bit. And so people took a lot of exception to the way Jerry West was portrayed there. And a lot of people come out and, you know, denied it and, you know, and said, that's not him. That's not what he's about. But I understood. But at the same time, I could imagine looking at that and going, yeah, I never threw my championship through the window.
Yeah, I think that was it was obviously an over the top representation, but it was a great portrayal of, they were trying to show the turmoil that Jerry West as a human being was
in. Going through.
And as a competitor, somebody that literally bled to win, that dedicated his life to not only the game of basketball, but the Los Angeles Lakers. So this was the only professional organization that he knew. He had amazing success as a player, but, you know, like you said so many times against the Celtics, losing that in the NBA Finals over and over and over again, that's going to wear at you. And this is a guy that already, he's talked about this, and I love that he's been so public about this. He's talked about his mental health battle. He's been very, I think he was probably one of the first athletes to be very public and open about that and just kind of saying, hey, it's okay. You know, we're not all okay, and it's okay not to be okay. You've got to go seek help, and I've had to step back sometimes. And so I think that portrayal is a little over the top, but it shows exactly the turmoil that he was in. But despite that turmoil, Oh my goodness, the logo Jerry West. Yeah, we're never going to find somebody like him again. He is one of the most legendary names in the history of sports, Rashad. He will always be, when you talk about the NBA, probably one of the first 5 to 10 guys that you discuss as far as like, all right, name 10 guys when you think of the NBA. Jerry West has to be, must be in that conversation because in his career, Rashad, you know, not only was he so smart in that transition from player to coach to executive, but the historical moves that he made,
right,
bringing Kobe in for Vlade Divac, signing Shaquille O'Neal, what, just a week or two or a month
hiring
after that?
Phil Jackson after that.
Yeah, hiring the Chicago Bulls, winning as head coach to go be the Lakers winning as head coach. And then after a falling out with the Buses, and part of that was Phil Jackson and Jeannie Buss getting together and the Lakers, very small organization like Phil. Well, he did it the same in Memphis. And then one of my favorite stories that I just found out over the last like week or so because of social media, when he ended up with the Warriors, told them as they were considering trading away Klay Thompson, this was as their dynasty was starting. I can't remember who it was for, but Kevin Love. They were talking about trading Klay Thompson and another piece, like a draft pick, for Kevin Love. And Jerry West, to his credit, said, I will effing quit if you trade Klay Thompson. And look at how many championships and look at the dynasty.
Doesn't
Golden
work
State
out that way
now.
With Kevin Love if he comes. Kevin Love was a great player at a point. But Thompson was, and also the one thing he did, he was really responsible for getting KD there. You know, he was really one of the people that, you know, he talked to Kevin Durant, said, man, I played in the finals 8 times. I got 1 championship. Like,
but he made up for that as an executive, because 8-time champion as an executive, 9 total, and won 2 Executive of the Year awards in 2 different decades, in fact. So, also just shows his longevity.
Yeah, and so, you know.
Rest in peace, Jerry.
We lost the great one and the great Jerry West. And so, do you think he'll forever be the logo? Like, I think the NBA, like, they can't. I don't know if you can change a logo. Like, that's, you know, a lot of people think it should have been Jordan, the Jordan symbol or something like that, which, you know, would also be a cool logo. But
I've heard some of the, I mean, I don't know what the original motivations were for. I thought it was maybe A, to update it to somebody that people know more. I've heard the argument that it should be, you know, a black player as opposed to a white player as the logo. Like, I've heard like 6 different arguments as to why it should have been like somebody else, but no. Jerry West, in my opinion, will forever be the logo. We all know what the NBA logo looks like, and when you have something like that branding that works, you just stick with it. Yeah. I mean, why would the NFL ever change their shield? Why would the NBA ever change it? Why would MLB ever change theirs? No.
Yeah, so rest in peace to the great Jerry West, man. It will be hard-pressed to find another guy that was a great player, then a great general manager, you know, a great executive, all in one. We saw Jordan was a great player, was not a great executive, not a great owner.
I think the closest is like Steve Kerr, and he was an okay player. He was a mediocre player.
Steve Kerr and Larry Bird.
Yeah.
It's Steve Kerr and Larry Bird. Like, Larry Bird is the next in line after Jerry West because he was a great player. Larry Bird was a great player.
Yes, he was.
Was an amazing coach.
Amazing.
And then
Pacers.
Has been a really good, what is he? He's president?
He's had like 6 different titles. Yeah. Right now, he's probably like president emeritus, just kind of sitting in the background. But he has been GM at some points. I believe he was
He hired Isaiah Thomas. And yes, Isaiah Thomas almost got them to the NBA Finals. You know,
even in his off years, was like a consultant at the minimum.
Yeah. So rest in peace to the great Jerry West. So, coming up next, what are we going to talk about? What's that last thing?
Let's see. We had Jerry West. We had NBA Finals. We've got some
sports.
Other sports topics like, the Blazers could have drafted up or moved up in the draft in the next couple of weeks. There's a team in Utah, NHL team that wants to ask prospects about their Uber scores, but we can get into that in the next hour.
We're going to get all in that into the second hour, but culturally, another phenomenon, you know, will no longer be around for us. Although he's not passed away, he will be retiring from his on-air personality. Yeah. And that is the one great Charles Barkley. We'll talk about Sir Charles when we come back right here, Sports Sunday on The Fan. Well, the greatest sports show on TV will cease to exist after next year. And maybe it will be back at some point, but Inside the NBA, if it does come back after next year on another network, unfortunately will not be graced by the presence of one Sir Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley announced on NBA TV after game four that regardless of what happens with inside the NBA next year and their potential move from TNT, he will not be returning after next year in any capacity for any network. The great Charles Barkley has decided to hang up his cans, you know, retire his microphone and ride off into the sunset. Charles Barkley has been doing this job for 24 years. Like, it's crazy to think that he's been retired for that long.
He almost seems like ageless at this point. He's like 61, and it just doesn't look like it or seem like it.
Charles Barkley retired in 99-2000, right? It doesn't seem like it's been that long since he's been, you know, but if we're being real, more people know Charles Barkley as the analyst than they do as the player.
Yeah, at this point.
Like, which is insane to me. And I think, you know, Charles is one of those guys that's been so honest about, you know, everything. But in his honesty, there's still something very, what's the word I'm looking for? He's still very cool. At the same time, he's super funny, and it's one of those things, like, it's hard to be mad at Charles Barkley for saying some off-the-wall stuff. He's talked bad about the Blazers for a long time. He's talked bad about San Antonio and San Antonio's women. He's one of those guys that will say anything that comes to mind, but you can tell he's not trying to be mean. This is just me talking type stuff. And
just funny. His job is to be funny.
And sometimes I'm curious if there's a group of writers that are behind them giving them certain jokes or things to say or anything like that. But when when he said, and I forget which team he was talking about, and they were talking about going to 1-2-3 Cancun.
The New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah, he said, we're going to send their ass to Galveston. And I
Dirty water in Texas.
Lost it when he said Galveston. I was like, man, I don't know, for whatever reason, I thought that was super, super funny. But, man, I don't know if we're going to get, if we'll have another sports show like this. Like, you can tell that they're, you know, Ernie kind of keeps things straight for everybody. He's the straight man. But between Charles and Shaq and them kind of going back and forth at each other and maybe with their disagreements or whatever the case is, like, it's the most entertaining sports show on TV. 100%.
I can't disagree as far as, like, pre and post game stuff and even competing, like, with some, like, I don't know. There is all kinds of sports programming on. I mean, you're seeing podcasts put on, you know, TV now. You're seeing, like, Pat McAfee now. His show has been brought to the mainstream. There is still, to this day, even with new media coming in like it is, no competition against NBA on TNT. And inside the NBA leading into that and getting out of that, there is just, I don't think there's anything else that's more synonymous with watching basketball. Maybe Roundball Rock from, you know, the late 90s into the early 2000s with the NBA on NBC, you know, like, this is the NBA on NBC. Other than that, I think it's inside the NBA on TNT is it.
No,
and every time I think of the NBA, I think of hearing Chuck, I think of Ernie, I think of Kenny and Shaq laughing.
And it's one of those things, like, I won't watch the game in some cases, but I'll still watch inside the NBA.
Yeah.
I will have missed the game or, you know, have to do something and come back and just listen to what they have to say. And the reason I think it's so great is because it is so organic. You know, you and I kind of spoke about during the break, these shows with you and I is so much easier because we don't have to write down our every single thought that we have. Like, sometimes when we're forced to kind of just jump in there and stuff, we don't have time to be anxious or time to be, you know, to be worried about what we're going to say and how it's, we just have to go 1-2-3 jump. And I think when you look at inside the NBA, you've got some guys up there. Obviously, there is a script and what's going to be said or kind of a run of show. But for the most part, it's four guys that are just talking to their friends, 'cause similar to what we do here in the station, just talking about whatever. And it's sometimes when you're talking to your buddies, things aren't as polished. You know, sometimes things aren't as buttoned up. You know, people, you know, can be a little more sensitive, you know, about certain stuff. As we see with Charles, he gets on Shaq's nerves all the time. And then what's the first thing Shaq does once Charles gets on his nerves?
How many rings you got? You don't have no rings. You
always
don't know,
clowns that.
You know anything. And to Shaq's point, no, Charles Barkley doesn't have any rings, but
he's still one of the greatest 50 NBA players of all time.
I mean, you start looking at Barkley's stats through his career. Yeah. Like his first year, his last year, he averaged 14. So plays for the Sixers his first year, 14 and 8. His last year for the Rockets, 14 and 10. But in between there, it was 20 and 12, 23 and 14, 28 and 11, 25 and 12, 25 and 11, 27 yeah. and 10. Like these are his career numbers, you know, up until really his last few years with Houston. Barkley was amazing. Obviously won an MVP in Phoenix. If they'd have had more on that team, could have, you know, pushed the Bulls to at least 7, but you know, they didn't have any more than him and Marley. Kevin Johnson's underrated, but still not one of them ones. But man, Charles Barkley has had an amazing, we just talked about Jerry West having an amazing playing career and then parlaying that into an amazing career as an executive. Charles Barkley has been one of the best top 75 NBA players of all time, but arguably top 5, top 10 on-air personalities ever.
Yeah, I think he's made a huge impact on how the NBA's covered, and all that money, you know, all of this love is really just for who he is as a person. And that's you're talking about those guys up there off the cuff, and that's exactly, you know, he's just being himself, and that's why he is so lauded, that's why he's so loved. And, you know, we knew he had a personality in his playing days. I'm just old enough to remember Charles Barkley as an NBA star in the 90s. You know, I was 6, 7, 8 years old, but that was, you know, part of the beginning of my NBA memories was hearing a lot of Charles Barkley and seeing a lot of points scored by him on ESPN. But just the transition, I mean, so many people tried in that same amount of time. Not, you know, screw now. Let's throw the last 10 years out because now, you know, podcasts are like
everybody's doing it.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, everybody's doing them. But the tough transition in the limited spots that they were given in that time, there were like 4 or 5 networks covering the NBA. And there were maybe 6 jobs open. Charles did that seamlessly, and he made it look so easy. And I guess going forward, I hope that he does something else. But I truly just don't want to believe that this is it for Charles Barkley and inside the NBA.
Yeah, this is a cultural phenomena with inside the NBA, and we're going to be hard pressed to find something similar to it. And I think really shows like Inside the NBA was able to help launch things like Cold Pizza, which ultimately end up becoming First Take, you know, and what's the NBA, what's the countdown shows and stuff like that.
NBA
like,
countdown.
Yeah, like a lot of these things are due because
I hate watching that. It's just, it's almost unwatchable.
Yeah. And Stephen A. Smith. Oh my God, bro. Like, I don't know if there's a more annoying person. Why are we watching him walk into the arenas with the suit? Like, who cares?
Yeah, I agree. Who cares? Why is that a thing on
like,
social media?
Seriously, like, stop it. Like, we don't. I don't want to see any more of Stephen A. Smith. Okay, hour two. You got this one?
Yeah. Let me take over. Let's see here. We got a lot of. This is kind of the fun hour. Well, some fun. We got a possible fart live on the air that I wanted to go over.
Oh, that's
yeah. Fun. We played these clips on Danny and Dusty this week when I was in producing, and I wanted to that there was a possible like live fart. Not possible. It was caught on the air by Pittsburgh Pirates announcers. They denied it, and I wanted to get your take on it, Rashad,
let's
and play it for people that haven't heard it. Also wanted to get to the new NHL team in Utah. They are asking their draft
the
prospects.
Yeti, right?
Yeah, supposedly. Is that did they decide on a name?
I don't know, did they?
It's one of the options. But yeah, the possible Utah Yeti are asking prospects about their Uber scores. We'll get into how I think that's problematic and also get into the NFL Sunday ticket price and how it could have been cheaper. That came out in the last 48 hours, and that kind of ruffled my skirt a little bit.
Oh, NFL. Okay. Well, we'll do all that when we come back. Second hour, Sports Sunday, coming up next. Well, the greatest sports show on TV will cease to exist after next year. And maybe it will be back at some point. But Inside the NBA, if it does come back after next year on another network, unfortunately will not be graced by the presence of one Sir Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley announced on NBA TV after Game 4 that regardless of what happens with Inside the NBA next year and their potential move from TNT, he will not be returning after next year in any capacity for any network. The great Charles Barkley has decided to hang up his cans, you know, retire his microphone and ride off into the sunset. Charles Barkley has been doing this job for 24 years. Like, it's crazy to think that he's been retired for that long.
He almost seems like ageless at this point. He's like 61, and it just doesn't look like it or seem like it.
Charles Barkley retired in 99, 2000, right? It doesn't seem like it's been that long since he's been, you know, but if we're being real, more people know Charles Barkley as the analyst than they do as the player.
Yeah, at this point.
Like, which is insane to me. And I think, you know, Charles is one of those guys that's been so honest about, you know, everything. But in his honesty, there's still something very, what's the word I'm looking for? He's still very cool. At the same time, he's super funny, and it's one of those things, like, it's hard to be mad at Charles Barkley for saying some off-the-wall stuff. He's talked bad about the Blazers for a long time. He's talked bad about San Antonio and San Antonio's women. He's one of those guys that will say anything that comes to mind, but you can tell he's not trying to be mean. This is just me talking type stuff. And
just funny. His job is to be funny.
And sometimes I'm curious if there's a group of writers that are behind them, giving them certain jokes or things to say or anything like that. But when he said, and I forget which team he was talking about, and they were talking about going to 1-2-3 Cancun.
New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah, he said, we're going to send their ass to Galveston. And I
dirty water in Texas.
Lost it when he said Galveston. I was like, man, I don't know, for whatever reason, I thought that was super, super funny. But, man, I don't know if we'll have another sports show like this. Like, you can tell that they're, you know, Ernie kind of keeps things straight for everybody. He's the straight man. But between Charles and Shaq and them kind of going back and forth at each other and maybe with their disagreements or whatever the case is, like, it's the most entertaining sports show on TV. 100%.
I can't disagree as far as, like, pre and post game stuff and even competing, like, with some, like, I don't know. There is all kinds of sports programming on. I mean, you're seeing podcasts put on, you know, TV now. You're seeing, like, Pat McAfee now. His show has been brought to the mainstream. There is still, to this day, even with new media coming in like it is, no competition against NBA on TNT. And inside the NBA leading into that and getting out of that, there is just, I don't think there's anything else that's more synonymous with watching basketball. Maybe Roundball Rock from, you know, the late 90s into the early 2000s with the NBA on NBC, you know, like, this is the NBA on NBC. Other than that, I think it's inside the NBA on TNT is it.
No,
and every time I think of the NBA, I think of hearing Chuck, I think of Ernie, I think of Kenny and Shaq laughing.
And it's one of those things, like, I won't watch the game in some cases, but I'll still watch Inside the NBA.
Yeah.
I will have missed the game or, you know, have to do something and come back and just listen to what they have to say. And the reason I think it's so great is because it is so organic. You know, you and I kind of spoke about during the break, these shows with you and I is so much easier because we don't have to write down our every single thought that we have. Like, sometimes when we're forced to kind of just jump in there and it's like, we don't have time to be anxious or time to be, you know, to be worried about what we're going to say and how it's, we just have to go 1-2-3 jump. And I think when you look at Inside the NBA, you've got some guys up there. Obviously, there is a script and what's going to be said or kind of a run of show. But for the most part, it's four guys that are just talking to their friends, 'cause similar to what we do here in the station, just talking about whatever. And it sometimes when you're talking to your buddies, things aren't as polished, you know, sometimes things aren't as buttoned up, you know, people, you know, can be a little more sensitive, you know, about certain stuff. As we see with Charles, he gets on Shaq's nerves all the time. And then what's the first thing Shaq does once Charles gets on his nerves?
How many rings you got? You don't have no rings. You
always
don't know,
clowns that.
You know anything. And to Shaq's point, no, Charles Barkley doesn't have any rings, but
he's still one of the greatest 50 NBA players of all time.
I mean, you start looking at Barkley's stats through his career, like his first year, his last year, he averaged 14. So plays for the Sixers his first year, 14 and 8. His last year for the Rockets, 14 and 10. But in between there, it was 20 and 12, 23 and 14, 28 and 11. 25 and 12, 25 and 11, 27 and 10. Like, these are his career numbers. You know, up until really his last few years with Houston, Barkley was amazing. Obviously won an MVP in Phoenix. If they'd have had more on that team, could have, you know, pushed the Bulls to at least seven. But, you know, they didn't have any more than him and Marley. Kevin Johnson's underrated, but still not one of them ones. But, man, Charles Barkley has had an amazing – we just talked about Jerry West having an amazing playing career and then parlaying that into an amazing career as an executive. Charles Barkley has been one of the best top 75 NBA players of all time, but arguably top five, top 10 on-air personalities ever.
Yeah, I think he's made a huge impact on how the NBA's covered, and all that money, you know, all of this love is really just for who he is as a person. And that's you're talking about those guys up there off the cuff, and that's exactly, you know, he's just being himself, and that's why he is so lauded, that's why he's so loved. And, you know, we knew he had a personality in his playing days. I'm just old enough to remember Charles Barkley as an NBA star in the 90s. You know, I was 6, 7, 8 years old, but that was, you know, part of the beginning of my NBA memories was hearing a lot of Charles Barkley and seeing a lot of points scored by him on ESPN. But just the transition, I mean, so many people tried in that same amount of time. Not, you know, screw now. Let's throw the last 10 years out, because now, you know, podcasts are like
everybody's doing it.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, everybody's doing them. But the tough transition in the limited spots that they were given in that time, there were like 4 or 5 networks covering the NBA. And there were maybe 6 jobs open. Charles did that seamlessly, and he made it look so easy. And I guess going forward, I hope that he does something else, but I truly just don't want to believe that this is it for Charles Barkley and inside the NBA.
Yeah, this is a cultural phenomena inside the NBA, and we're going to be hard-pressed to find something similar to it. And I think really shows like Inside the NBA was able to help launch things like Cold Pizza, which ultimately end up becoming First Take, you know, and what's the NBA, what's the countdown shows and stuff like that.
NBA
like,
countdown. Yeah, like
a lot of these things are due because
I hate watching that. It's almost unwatchable.
Yeah. And Stephen A. Smith. Oh, my God, bro. Like, I don't know if there's a more annoying person. Why are we watching him walk into the arenas with the suit? Like, who cares?
Yeah, I agree. Who cares? Why is that a thing on
like,
social media?
Seriously, like, stop it. Like, I don't want to see
any
more of Stephen A. Smith. Okay, hour two. You got this one?
Yeah. Let me take over. Let's see here. We got a lot of, this is kind of the fun hour. Well, some fun. We got a possible fart live on the air that I wanted to go over.
Oh, that's
yeah, fun. We played these clips on Danny and Dusty this week when I was in producing, and I wanted to, that there was a possible, like, live fart. Not possible. It was caught on the air by Pittsburgh Pirates announcers. They denied it, and I wanted to get your take on it, Rashad,
let's
and
hear
play it for people that haven't heard it. Also wanted to get to the new NHL team in Utah. They are asking their draft
the
prospects.
Yeti, right?
Yeah, supposedly. Is that did they decide on a name?
I don't know, did they?
It's one of the options. But yeah, the possible Utah Yeti are asking prospects about their Uber scores. We'll get into how I think that's problematic, and also get into the NFL Sunday ticket price and how it could have been cheaper. That came out in the last 48 hours, and that kind of ruffled my skirt a little bit.
Oh, NFL, okay. Well, we'll do all that when we come back. Second hour, Sports Sunday, coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.